Dan Celion.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celion.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. 844-707-5533. Welcome to the second hour of the program. We sure do appreciate you being here. You can queue your call up anytime you want. 844-707-5533. Our lines are open. Right now, the indices doing very well on the enthusiasm over the fact that there's not going to be another government shutdown. So it would seem. Let's not count those chickens before they're hatched, but that's what it would seem. It looks like they've reached a tentative deal, Republicans and Democrats, on about 55, how many miles of wall they put in 50? I forget what it is. I probably shouldn't even quote it. I think I was going to say 55, but I know it's more than that. But they've reached a deal. One of the things that the Democrats had thrown out there was part of the deal was going to be to dramatically reduce the number of people that they could detain in the detention centers until they vetted people. And, of course, that would mean that illegal immigrants convicted of crimes, ICE would have no choice but to set them free. And, of course, that's what the Democrats wanted to achieve because, as we know from this entire debate, that they don't care a lick about your security. They pretend they do, but they don't care a lick about your security. They only care about giving these voters, what they perceive as voters, as much freedom as they possibly can. So they are not, they're not, unfortunately, that didn't work. So I'm sure that whoever put forth that bill, I forget who it was, figured out that this isn't going to be a good thing for them for their reelection. So they came to terms on that. There's only going to be about $1.3 billion for the border wall. There's close to $3 billion total. A lot of that is going to be to hire new ICE agents and expand that and some technologies and other things that they need for security, which are all good. But I have a sneaky suspicion that President Trump's going to find the money for the wall somewhere else. And already they're talking about, let's not worry about it. We'll find the money somewhere else for the rest of the wall. Let's get this thing approved. And then they can appropriate more money as need be, probably taken away from some of the pet projects of the Democrats. And really, it won't matter much because the odds of them actually laying out a budget and approving a budget between now and Friday is comical at best. So that's not going to happen. So in all likelihood, there's going to be another continued resolution. We're going to see the government continue to balloon out of control, the size of the government, the power grab that the government wants, and that's going to continue because there's no real accountability because there's not going to be any budget. So I wouldn't be too concerned or thinking that, you know, how are we going to do that? Because the budget's all described there somehow. No, that's not going to be the case at all. So we can pretty much count on that. All right. So, but that's good news, and the markets like it because that's one uncertainty gone, maybe. Gone. That's the name of the game with the markets. This has little to do. I only care about the economy. It's got little to do with the economy. But it does show that this is an uncertainty. Now the big overhang is the uncertainty in and around U.S.-China trade. So that's not going anywhere. We still have the uncertainty in and around U.S.-China trade. So with that in mind, right now China and the delegation from China that's doing the negotiation is a little concerned because they're saying, there seems to be this lack of trust, with the U.S., and we don't like it. We don't like this lack of trust. And so there's a little bit of a sticking point as Robert Lighthizer and Steve Mnuchin over there to continue these negotiations. So we'll see how all this shakes out. Obviously, President Xi, President Trump are ultimately going to be the ones responsible for solidifying the deal and moving on. And I don't, once this deal gets done, one has to believe that a trade deal with the European Union, a trade deal with Japan, a trade deal with the rest of the Pacific Rim, Vietnam, Australia, New Zealand, all these other places where we've got to do deals, South America, is going to be pretty easy to accomplish. So if we can get this done, the rest of it is going to be relatively simple to get done. And I mean simple because the incentive there is going to be dramatic for these other countries to obviously begin to work with us on some kind of trade deal. So it'll be interesting to see, and we'll watch it closely. But right now, I've got to believe that all eyes would be shifting on China-U.S. trade deal. And we're not going to know anything, or we're not going to see anything come out of that until sometime by the end of the week, maybe probably the beginning of next week. So we'll see how that goes. All right, 844-707-5533, and we've got our ag report coming up. And, you know, all this trade issues, this is going to weigh very, very heavily on our farmers. This is going to impact, and we've got to get some things solidified here. They have agreed to purchase a lot more soybean, but, you know, they're getting ready to plant. They're starting to plan for that. So we'll see what kind of deal we get from them. Here's Craig Haugert with our ag report. We'll be right back.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, the corn market's been trading in a sideways pattern since the first of the year. Yesterday, we were lower on spillover weakness from the bean and wheat markets, and prices were also pressured from increasing global corn supplies. But at the end of the day, we're still trading in that range that we've been trapped in. Weekly export inspections came in at 29.3 million bushels, which was below the low end of the range of trade expectations. In the overnight trade, spot corn futures are trading up 2 cents. The soybean complex was on the defensive yesterday with favorable weather forecasts for South America this week. More trade talks are expected to happen this week as well, and the market is hoping for some positive news on the Chinese situation. Weekly export inspections came in at 39.1 million bushels, which was towards the top end of the range of trade expectations. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading 4.5 cents higher. The wheat market was mixed yesterday with strength stemming from improving demand for U.S. wheat. That strength is also reflected in better than expected weekly export inspections as they came in at 20.7 million bushels. In the overnight trade, we're giving up a little bit of yesterday's gains with Chicago and Kansas City down a penny while Minneapolis is trading 2 cents lower. Cotton got absolutely hammered yesterday with the March futures closing down $2 a hundredweight to close at $70.55. In the overnight trade, spot cotton futures are snapping back just slightly and are trading 26 points higher as I record this. Livestock futures were higher straight across the board yesterday as they drew support from another week of poor weather conditions around the upper Midwest. April live cattle futures finished the day 37.5 cents higher, while the March feeder cattle futures finished the session 57.5 cents higher. Lean hogs had a positive outing with April lean hog futures up 65 cents for the day. Class 3 milk futures had another positive performance with March futures up 10 points to close at 14.69. In the overnight trade, Class 3 spot milk futures are trading 5 points lower. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were up $1.53 at $2.16.88, while selects were $2.69 higher as they closed out the session at $2.13.86. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 64 cents higher for the day as they settled at $65.
Such a peace and joy, knowing that God is answering our prayers, bringing healing and providing for our needs.
Yeah. The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. We sure do appreciate all of you being with us. And right now, it looks like the index is doing very, very well. Some of the technology stocks, and particularly some of the stocks that have exposure to China, I just picked two, Apple and Caterpillar, doing very well. And Caterpillar up significantly. Caterpillar gets a large percentage of their profits. And I wonder what John Deere is doing. I have to take a look at that one, too. See what Deere is doing. Deere also has a lot of exposure to China. So I know a lot of people, a lot of our partners own Caterpillar. I also want to mention something to our partners. If you noticed on our partners, if you're wondering what kinds of preferreds that I'm looking at, I added three preferreds to the broad list. They'll be at the bottom of the preferred list if you want to take a look at them just for the sake of looking at them. They're not on the buy list because you will notice that all three of them have stated call dates next month, 2019. The reason that I put them on the buy list, and they're all trading below their par value. One of them has a par value of 50. They're all trading just below their par value. It would not be a horrible thing to buy them. You couldn't really lose by buying them now. It's not too likely, but I would wait. What I'm waiting for, I put them on there so I would make sure that they're hitting all of my screens for my guidance, and hopefully we'll get past this about March 19th deadline, and we'll see if any of them get called. If they don't, then we can feel pretty safe about adding those to the buy list. Now, if they don't get called, we'll see if they go up above the par value or not. But there are three there. I've got a list of about, I don't know, boy, you know, I didn't count it. I'm just going by looking at it. It's got to be very close to about 16, give or take. And I don't know. I think a lot of them could end up on the list. These are ones that I've been watching for a very long time. But again, checking out the call dates and what that looks like. So anyway, there are more preferreds coming. So stay tuned and watch for that as we will see more of that. All right, 844-707-5533. Let me go to the phones, go to Leo. Leo's calling us from Georgia. Hey, Leo.
Yes, sir. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, good to hear from you. I've got a question, and it's pretty much this. I have a Roth IRA through my bank, and it's under life cycle funds, and I went ahead and stopped contributing to that, but I'm a new partner. I opened up TD Ameritrade account with a Roth, and I've been deposited $7,000, and I went ahead and invested using your buy list. Mm-hmm. Can I take that $29,000 from my other Roth IRA and somehow have them move it over into my TD Ameritrade?
Yes, you should do that. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to do that because you want to get it all in one place for one reason, and just to be able to guide yourself when you look at asset allocation models, you know, to make sure that you got everything covered. So it would be better if it's over there in the TD Ameritrade account, for sure.
Okay, and then also, how many shares should I attempt to have per position?
Yeah, so, you know, I would start out gradually. Ideally, you know, as things get moving, you should probably have at least three, and any, you know, so anywhere from three to five, maybe an occasional six, depends on how much money you have, but you know, I think you should work to get at least three.
Okay, three shares?
No. Three positions.
Three positions per category?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And yeah. So how many shares should I shoot for?
Well, I think it depends on the percentage of what that looks like, you know, obviously. So you might not be able to, that's why I say you might not be able to even get the three right away, because it might not make sense to, you know, divide the amount of shares you can buy by that much. But, yeah, you have to just kind of play that by ear. But as you continue to contribute, obviously, that's what you're going to be shooting for. But the first order of business is try to get a little bit in all the sectors.
Okay.
You know, and start working sector by sector. And then when you get that done, start over again. Go back to the beginning and go through it and just continue to do that.
Okay, sounds great, Dan. Appreciate your help. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Leo. Let me go to Gene, I think. Gene from Alabama. Hey, Gene.
Hello there. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, Dan, I just wanted to know the difference between ordinary dividends and qualified dividends.
So qualified dividends are dividends that you will get that will be considered income, you know, and go normally into your IRA account. So if you have that company that whose dividend is qualified, and you have that company in your IRA account, then that is, you know, that will just accumulate like everything else. If you have a non-qualified dividend in your IRA, like let's say a limited partnership or something like that, you could still have taxes to pay on capital gains and things like that.
Okay. If I spend all the dividends, whenever I get them, I spend them. That means they're taxable?
Well, it depends. Are you actually taking the dividend?
Yes, taking the dividend.
Yes, that means that's going to be taxable to you as income. Yes, sir.
As ordinary income.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Very good, Dan. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Gene. Glad you called. Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let me go to Don from Lafayette, Indiana. Hey, Don.
Hey, Dan. I got a question about one-time investments that are considered a good retirement option. I've been listening, you know, to different advisors. I listen to you most all the time. Getting ready to be a partner. And there's a company, I think they came out as Foxconn, but that's not what they trade under because it's a Taiwanese company. And I used to go to Wisconsin, and I was up visiting the relatives there, and they said that, they've already started building factories here. And I guess the company that has, 29,000 patents in the IT industry, and it's every iPhone's going to need it, Apple, I guess, has invested $29.3 billion into it. And I saw this by a company or a group called the Oxford Club, and I don't know if this is anything even to listen anymore to. I should pass this by Dan.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of opportunity out there in that regard that you're talking about. With those plants, they're not biblically responsible, so I don't track them, so
yeah.
I don't have, you know, I don't have a lot I say about them because I don't really track them. I track other areas of what they're doing, so I might track the sector, say, or what it is they're developing, if that's in the IT sector or, you know, different parts of technology, but not that specific stock.
Okay, great. I'll listen to you. Appreciate you every day.
All right, thank you. All right, have
thank
a good
you.
One. All right, Don.
You too, good.
Let me go to Cindy from Texas. Hey, Cindy.
Hi. I'm looking at your broad list of preferreds, and several that we have that we bought off of your buy list a while back aren't even listed now on your broad list. I wondered if they just kind of dropped off. I don't think we've missed any alerts.
No, you probably just missed some of the commentary that I wrote about that when I did it, and on my website on the commentary side of things. And I've talked about it at length on conference calls and on the air. But so I took some of those preferreds off my broad list, not because they were bad, not because they weren't biblically responsible or anything like that, just because I didn't want people looking at the broad list to purchase. Income investors tend to look at the buy list and they look for returns, and or the broad list, they look for returns. And I didn't want those on there because I didn't want anybody to buy them.
Okay,
because if you own them, that's fine, but they no longer accumulate. They don't have a their dividend is no longer cumulative. Now, I would rather not have those kinds of preferreds, although I probably will be doing that at some point in time because more and more companies are not accumulating their dividends. So that's why I took them off. So if you already have them, that's fine, but I didn't want anybody that's just getting started to buy them.
So like ENO, DTJ, and DRUA fall under that category. Does that sound...
They fall under that category, yes.
Okay, and what do you mean by no longer cumulative?
So if they miss a dividend payment, so they, if they're cumulative and they miss a dividend payment, it accumulates and you get it next time they pay.
Oh.
Or if they miss that one too, then you'll get it the next time. It continues to accumulate, and eventually you'll get that paid out. If they don't accumulate and they miss it, oh well.
Oh, and, so but you still think these are not bad to just hang on to?
Well, no, because I don't see them doing that. I can't imagine. But they have given up the right that if things get bad in the economy or such, and they really have a rough time of it, they're not obligated to do that now.
Okay, that answers my question.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Folks, 844-707-5533. We've got two lines open, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do that. But we're going to go to break. As soon as we get back from break, we're going to take a look. By the way, we've got another hour and a half left, but let me see if I can get a look at the markets right now. Everything looks very, very, very good. Everything's up about 1%, give or take. Apparently, there's OPEC daily production has fallen by 800,000 barrels a day. So that is in keeping with what they promised. So that's going to prop up and help the oil sector a little bit, the energy sector, be good for oil stocks moving forward. All right, we're going to get back to phones right after this. We'll be right
60.org today. Grow your money God's way.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. It's great to be here. I sure do appreciate all of you, and thank you for being a part of the ministry as you are. And I just wanted to say something because somebody reminded me of this yesterday when they called in. You know, you don't have to apologize for not being a partner. You don't have to, I'm going to answer your question. Whether you're a partner, whether you're not, I'm going to try to help. Now, there's a lot of things that, you know, it helps if you're a partner. I can refer to certain things on the partner side of the website. But aside from that, not a big deal. We're here for everybody. Anybody that is listening to the program, if you have a question, you want to run something by me to get a second opinion, that's all good. That's great. That's what we're here for. And when you ask a question, when you call in and ask a question, I hope you understand. You probably understand it better than I do because you listen to the program. I don't listen. I don't even know what I say half the time. But you're listening, so you get this. But when you call in with a question, you are being edifying to so many other listeners. Because there's probably 1,000 people listening or watching that have the exact same question. So they get to hear it answered. Or my answer, hopefully, my answer is edifying to people that hadn't really thought of the question, but the answer gives them a tiny, tiny, tiny bit more knowledge. You know, so that's what we try to hope for and accomplish. So we're here for the kingdom. We want to help God's people. We want to see you become more comfortable with your money. and we want to see the kingdom grow as a result of that. When God's people are taught God-honoring principles of investing and growing their money, then they are going to participate a little bit quicker. They're going to participate in growing the kingdom. So it's a wonderful thing. So when you call, it's a blessing to everybody listening. So we thank you for that. All right, let me go to JT. JT's calling us from Georgia. Hey, JT.
Yes. Hey, how you doing? Good. I appreciate your help. I am a member. I've been retired a couple of years, and I've been kind of grappling with how to invest or whether and where to put money.
Right.
But I've got a couple of concerns. Should I be concerned if I go over the SIPC limits of a brokerage house?
No, I don't really think you should be. I wouldn't be too overly concerned about that because, you know, here's the deal, JT. That limit, I'm going to call it, for lack of better, I'm going to call it insurance. That is right. Only going to kick in a case of bankruptcy. And if the brokerage goes bankrupt, we're in big, big trouble, you know, a lot more than that.
Right.
If it's a reputable, good broker. The other thing I want to remind you of when you're with a broker, the brokerage going bankrupt has little to do with your stock in ConocoPhillips. So you own the stock in ConocoPhillips. The brokerage isn't controlling that stock that you own. And you will own that no matter whether the brokerage goes bankrupt or not. It's irrelevant. Now, could you have a bit of a delay trying to get to those shares until that is moved and change to another broker? Yeah, you could be a delay, but it's not going to be the end of the world for you. Now, if you own a proprietary fund of the brokerage, that is their fund, so you're with JP Morgan and you have a lot of JP Morgan funds and JP Morgan goes bankrupt, you're probably in trouble.
I got you. What if you go over the cash limit?
Well, the cash limit too. Then you would be out again in case of a crisis or a bankruptcy. Then you would be out anything over that limit for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Got another question regarding. I've been looking for where the safest place to invest cash, like CDs. Do you recommend brokerage CDs because the interest rate there is higher than what you can get at anywhere else?
Yeah. I mean, I think that you have to be willing to take a little risk. I recommend brokerage CDs on a very regular basis, even a brokerage money market account can. Give you a little bit more, but of course you have that added risk now of the fluctuation in between the time you purchase and the time it matures. When it matures, you're going to get your principal back, but there could be some fluctuations, you know, in that time period. Yep.
And I'm looking at FDIC insured brokerage CDs.
Oh, well, you're fine with that. You don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
That's just like the bank.
Okay.
Yep.
The only problem I ran into was that they said that they don't really ladder the CDs because they don't, let's say in 6 months, they don't automatically renew.
Yeah, most don't. You have to renew it yourself. So,
okay.
And when they do renew, if they were to do it automatically, they would put it back in a same kind of CD. So if you have a 6 month, they're going to probably put it another 6 month. You want to start extending them out. You've heard me talk about the scenario of, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, so you'd want to do that yourself. And you'll get plenty of time to be able to move that up to a 2 year from a 6 month, you know, and just continue that cycle. Yep.
All righty. Great. Thank you very much.
JT, thank you. I sure appreciate your partnership. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Bye.
Let me go to Marcus. Marcus calling us from North Carolina. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, Ben.
Good morning.
I'm taking my call this morning.
Sure.
TSP allocation.
Okay.
Bottom line, I'm 40, so I'm still pretty young. I'm just getting started. As it stands right now, that week in December hurt pretty painfully because the way I have it set up is, I think it came from a Dave Rams recommendation on one of his blogs, was 80% in the common stock, 10% in small, and 10% international. I'm not averse to risk. However, that 80% in the losses in the stock was really painful. So what should my allocations be to give me risk but not be so painful?
Well, I wouldn't do any international. Wouldn't have any international okay. right now. So, and I would zero that out sooner rather than later.
Okay.
So I would, you got to have something in the G fund. I know you're, how old are you, Marcus? You young?
Probably pretty, only 40.
Yeah. I know that, you know, it's, well, it's a G fund and I'm young and I want to be aggressive. I get that. But you should have 10%, 10 to 15% in the G fund. It just makes good sense, you know, that okay. that you have that money. Maybe you have used that money if the C fund crashes. And if the C fund crashes, you can move some of that money, buy some of the C fund cheap, which is going to help you recover from that crash a lot faster. So you got to have some money in the G fund, C fund, S fund, and that's about it as far as I'm concerned. So I would have some of the C fund. Probably for you, I would tell you 40% in the C fund, 30% in the S fund, and, you know, 15% in the G fund. And whatever the difference is, go put it in the C fund, not the S fund. So change that a little bit to whatever the
okay.
difference is. But I think those three funds is a good mix. And it's okay. Remember, and you've got to be thinking like this. When that, like you said, it was painful when that happens, you at your age, you got to be saying, wow, this is great. This whole thing crashed. I feel great about this, and put some more money in. That's a buying opportunity for you. And we've got to change the way we think. So that we can look at that and say, you know what, I'm taking 5% out of my G fund. Now I'm going to move that over to the C fund, buy in cheap, and I'm going to raise my allocation out of my pay a little bit. As long as it's staying down there low, I'm going to buy some more shares of that. That's, man, if you can do those things, you're going to be in great shape. And you'll start looking forward to those downturns, because it's those downturns are going to be the reason why you do really well when you're 65 someday.
All right. Well, I just wanted to rebalance it because, like I said, right now 80% was in the C fund, and that
yeah.
December week put me down for the year.
Yeah, yeah,
so I
yeah.
I just wanted to see the rebalance I needed to do.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
So
good.
30 in S, 30-ish in S, 15-ish in G, and the rest in C.
You got it.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
All right, Marcus. Glad you called. Thank you. 844-707-5533. We have a line open if you want to queue your call. 844-707-5533. And we'll get to phones, back to phones, right after this. 844-707-5533. It'll be interesting. You know, one thing I haven't even talked about this week, and I'll do it when we get back. I'll mention what our average price of gasoline is and what's happening there with the gasoline market and what we can expect maybe as we head into starting to get a little bit busier driving season. So we'll get a look at that as soon as we get back off the break. 844-707-5533. Right now, the market's still very much in positive territory, and we're looking at just about up 1%. The Dow is off its session highs. It is pulling back a little bit. So we'll see. Hopefully this gain can hold. We'll see. And I suspect tomorrow, Thursday, we're going to start getting a little turmoil coming out of Washington. It's probably going to impact all of this stuff.
Now, thankful that Trump. trusted partner that shares your values and beliefs. Christian Community Credit Union. Your money building God's kingdom.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Let me go to calls. Let me go to Howard. Howard's calling us from Kentucky. Hey, Howard.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We've been partners, and we're using the tracker. We're over 65, and I'm trying to improve our cash position. But right now, with the with the way I got things set up, I would have to sell some of my positions in some of my sectors, and it would, of course, drop my, the percentage in the sector.
Sure.
Is it important enough to do that, or should I?
How far off are you?
Well, and the biggest sector I'm off is like 2.5%. But like in the healthcare sector, The two of the positions are up quite a bit, but that would almost decimate my healthcare sector.
So, how far off are you on your cash, though? What percentage?
Yeah, I would say probably a good 10, somewhere between 5 and 10%, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's pretty important. I would want you to, one of the things, I don't know how many shares, you have and things like that, but one of the things you can do is you can, you can look at maybe selling some shares in several different positions. So you can sell, 25 shares from here and 25 shares from there and 25 shares from there, and so on. And generate a little cash. I just feel like, particularly since you're in that portfolio, I think it's pretty important that you make sure you have, if something happens and we see this a severe downturn, you're going to feel pretty good that you've got that cash sitting there,
and can
maybe take advantage of some great buys. Doing that. So,
that's kind of how I've gotten into this position, because as things have gone down, I've been dollar cost averaging.
Yes.
So now I'm out of cash.
Yeah. Right. I know the feeling that happens. That's one of the things that, we do that all the time. And then we take a look and say, oh no, but, I don't feel a sense of urgency like, hey, you got to do this now. I don't feel that, but I do want you to keep an eye on it and try to start building up a little bit. Maybe you take some profits or do something, but I think it's important.
Okay. And one other question, totally different subject. We're farmers, and of course, a large amount of our wealth is embedded in the farm.
Sure.
And I've heard you talk about trusts before, and I actually ended up getting a living trust for my parents, and it was god awful expensive, but it did save quite a few headaches. So I guess my question is going out and looking what could potentially happen in the upcoming years, and if there was some reversals on some of these estate things, would it be a bad idea to start doing a living trust, because you got to do the whole 5-year back thing?
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah, I think it would be. How many heirs do you have?
Two.
Yeah. I think you should. I think it makes really good sense to do it. I know they can be very expensive to get done, and you just got to make you want to make sure that your heirs are. I would try to make them co-trustees. Maybe you were a successor trustee on your father's, but I would make them co-trustees. I mean, you don't lose any control. You know, you still have all the control, but I think you should do it. I think, you know, it's worth the money to your heirs, and there's no reason why you can't shop around a little bit unless you're really comfortable with the attorney that you would use. But there's no reason why you can't shop it around find out. But the expenses too, getting all the assets, you know, over. Title,
right?
You know, and that's right. That's the key, because I tell you, so many people that are listening to me right now have living trust, and their property is not in the name of the trust, so it's worthless. They wasted their money. So you really got to, you know, go through that and get all of your assets titled over to that trust, and that's where the expense can be. Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Dan. I really appreciate it, and I really appreciate your ministry.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Howard. You have a great day. God bless.
Great. You too. Bye.
Thank you. Let me go to Brandon. Brandon's calling us from Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hi, Dan. Thank you for all that you do.
Sure.
I appreciate listening to you on the radio every day. I am 31 years old. God has blessed me with a new experience in life starting this year. I'm going into the realm of being a bivocational pastor.
Okay.
But I've taken on a position as a part-time pastor. And I'm used to filing my taxes, you know, normally as, you know, married, filing jointly with my family.
Sure.
And I was curious, the way that they have my salary package for the pastor is they have it mostly as housing allowance. And I thought I read somewhere, if I file my taxes federally, that I can take the tax off of the housing allowance. I don't have to pay taxes on housing allowance. Do you know much about that?
That is true. Okay. You can save, you know, a lot of money in taxes. You also will have an option, you know, to not withhold Social Security out of your pay. Please don't do that. A lot of people might steer you in that direction, but, you know, I would advise you that you withhold Social Security.
Okay.
But yeah, the housing allowance is great. It's a great opportunity. Here's the biggest problem with it. Finding maybe you're really good with, TurboTax and, you know, you'll be able to wade through that. Hopefully you will. But if not, you've got to find an accountant that understands that, you know, and the best thing to do is talk to some other pastors and see who they're using, you know, and how that's working out. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if I was able to use, like, my normal Schedule 40 or whatever that I use for my job.
No, it's a little bit more complicated than that, unfortunately. So you've got to file some separate forms. And with all these changes in the tax code, I hesitate to say, you know, what it's going to look like. But, yeah, that's what you have to do.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your advice, Dan.
You're welcome. Hey, I wish you all the best, man. It's a wonderful work, and it's a hard job. I know getting into the trenches, that's what it is. You know, when you're pastoring and when you're bivocational, man, it is it's a tough job. So I praise you for that, and I wish you all the best.
Great. Well, thank you for your ministry too, Dan.
All right. You're welcome. God bless. Thanks, Brandon. Good stuff. Let me go to, let's see, do we have time? Yeah. Nah, let me wait a little bit so we get out of this hour clean and we'll come back to the phones. We have a line open, though, 844-707-5533. We got another hour, so cue your call up, 844-707-5533. if you want to do that, 844-707-5533. So you can queue your call up right now, and we'll get you in this next hour as we head to it. I want to remind you of Oklahoma City. If you live anywhere near Oklahoma City, we're going to be doing a town hall meeting in Oklahoma City area, and we're really excited about it. So I hope that you will go to the website at financialissues.org, and you can click on events. And when you go to events, you'll see a list of certain things, and you'll be able to go click on Oklahoma City. It's March 7th, and it is, I believe it's a Thursday evening. And we're going to be at Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. And I hope you'll come on out. I just found out it was at Fairview. Fairview, I know the senior pastor there, and Paul Blair, great, great guy, great pastor, great church. And I'm excited to be there. Edmond, Oklahoma, Fairview Baptist Church. So I hope you'll come out. We start at 6:30. I'll get there early. I'll try to greet as many of you as I can. And I hope you'll be there. It doesn't cost anything. All you got to do is show up. You can go to the website at financialissues.org and register just so that they can get a head count. This is sponsored by the American Family Radio, and they're the ones bringing me out there. So they like to get a head count in case they have stuff they want to bring to give away or whatever. But come on out. It is going to be a great time. I'm looking forward to it. We had an unbelievable town hall meeting last week in Richmond. And sure, this will be every bit as good, so I'm looking forward to it. Folks, we're coming up on break, then we're going to get back to phones. 844-707-5533. Remember, all that we have is His. Let's be found a good and faithful steward. Have a great day. God bless. More financial issues right after this.